This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are in a series. We took a break from the series because of last week being Resurrection Sunday. Glory to God. I hope you all had a good Resurrection Sunday. But we are still in the Power of Prayer series. Amen. Somebody say Power of Prayer. Amen. And I really believe that as we learn to pray, we'll become powerhouses in the kingdom of God. Amen. How many people want to be a powerhouse in the kingdom of God? Amen? Amen. So you learn how to pray right, I'm telling you, miracles will be coming your way. Amen. I believe that. And we've been taking the Lord's Prayer and we've been breaking it down. And we've been looking at it as a template where you can start praying, because sometimes we don't know how to pray. So Jesus teaches us how to pray. Amen. Amen. And so we can break it down in Luke 11, 1-4. And it says here, now it came to pass as he was praying, talking about Jesus, in a certain place. Now, this is powerful because I really think you should have a place to pray. You should have a certain, now I really believe, I pray all the time. You know, I'm praying in my car a lot. Amen. So that's really my place of prayer. Amen. Does anybody like to pray in the car? Amen. When you're traveling, as long as you're not closing your eyes, as long as you're not, the Bible says, keep your eye. Amen. You don't want to be closing your eyes while you're praying. Amen. The Bible does say, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Amen. Glory to God. And keep at least one eye open. Amen. And it's interesting. Jesus had a place that he was praying. And when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then some translation says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. I like that ending. Amen? Amen. And so we're in this series and we are breaking it down. And, you know, I really believe in the power of repetition. I really believe the more you hear something, the more you're going to get it. Amen. And so I'm going to just kind of hit just the highlights of my series to remind you, because we all tend to forget. Amen. And so the first part of the prayer, in this manner, therefore, pray our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We should always start our prayers with thanksgiving and worship to the Lord. Amen. If you're going to start anything, always start by praising and thanking God. Amen. And so I like that, because really the Bible says we in Psalms 104, we enter his gates with what? And his courts with?
Praise.
Amen. And it says, be thankful to him and bless his name.
Amen.
We discover this does two things. When we're worshiping God, it opens God's heart to do miracles on our behalf.
Amen.
Amen. I really believe worship produces miracles.
Amen.
Amen. And then praise also and worship opens our heart to receive miracles.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, you got to be believing. You got to be expecting that God can do the impossible, no matter what it looks like.
Amen.
We serve the impossible God. When I study the scriptures and I study the patriarchs, a lot of them had problems. They had problems. Bible people had problems. Say, I'm in that company. But you know what? They got out. God got most of them, I think most of them, out of their problems that turned to him, of course. And so I'm going to say this. God's going to get you out of your problem.
Amen.
You just got to believe that. And I love this because, just an example, because there were a lot of people that worshiped Jesus. And when they worshiped Jesus, they saw miracles.
Amen.
I love that. It opened the door for miracles. And in Matthew 8, 1 and 3, it says, when he had come down, talking about Jesus, from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So there were lots of people following Jesus. But behold, a leper came and worshiped him. Amen. You need to be more than just a follower. You need to be a worshiper.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. You need to be more than just a follower. You need to be a worshiper. And he says, behold, the leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Powerful. So we see here worship, in this case, preceded the miracle.
Amen.
Is that powerful? So you need to start worshiping God more. You're going to see more miracles in your life. Part two, we focus on your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We discover that God wants his kingdom to come and his will to be done in every person on this planet.
Amen.
Do you believe that today?
Amen.
And God's kingdom consists of his righteousness, his justice, his mercy, and his truth. We pulled that out of Psalms 89, 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Now we believe the kingdom of God is all wrapped up in Jesus.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today? The kingdom of God is wrapped up in Jesus. The whole Bible is about Jesus.
Amen.
It's focusing on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's the centerpiece of the Bible. And so we know this. The kingdom of God is Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus' crucifixion paid for God's justice for mankind. Jesus is our mercy of God for us. And Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today?
Amen.
And so in this part of the prayer, we focus on God's will be done. And God's will is for everybody to be saved.
Amen.
I got some amen and people in here.
Amen.
God wants everybody saved. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today?
Amen.
And we do that through two ways. We do that through prayer. I don't believe people will get saved unless somebody's praying for them.
Amen.
John Wesley says, it seems as if God can't do anything unless somebody prays first. The Bible says that God looked for somebody to stand in the gap to keep judgment from coming, and he couldn't find a person in that passage. But somebody say, here I am, Lord, call me. Amen? And so God can count on you. And so I love that. So we focus on Matthew 11. Give us our day, our the next key is give us our day, our daily bread. Amen. And I really believe daily bread can be our natural bread that we receive, our natural sustenance, and it can be spiritual bread.
Amen.
Amen. And I like that. And so I love this because I like not just asking God just to supply, you know, just to for my daily bread. I like to make it into a confession. And I like it to make it into a confession of faith. Amen.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm dealing with financial issues. I like to say, thank you, Heavenly Father, for supplying all my needs in Christ Jesus. Amen. So you can say that every day. Thank you, Father, for supplying my needs in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 Or in Jesus' name. And so I love that. So the Lord is our spiritual daily bread. Jesus said it this way. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen. So our spiritual bread is really, we need revelation from God. We need a fresh word from God, I believe, every day. Amen. I believe God can reveal his truth to you. I believe that God wants to speak to us and reveal truth. Amen. And the best way to position ourselves for spiritual growth is praying out what I call the Pauline prayers. The Apostle Paul prayed prayers for the church of Ephesus. We have those prayers. We restocked them. And they're out there on the right-hand side. They all went when I preached on it the last time on the Ephesian prayers. Amen? And you start praying these Ephesian prayers for spiritual growth, not just for yourself. If there's people in your family that are saved, but they're not walking in the light, pray these prayers over them. And they will start understanding the scriptures. Amen. Glory to God. God will start speaking to them. So you don't only pray for yourself, but you pray for your loved ones. Amen? I love this. And just one of the parts of the prayer in Ephesians, and it's in Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, and Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Just for the scripture references, that's what you can pray if you're reading it out of your Bible. And Ephesians 1, 17 says it this way, that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So this is a great prayer. This is the beginning of it. So you can't go wrong with wisdom and revelation knowledge. Amen. You can't go wrong with that. So praying for wisdom and revelation knowledge is a great way. And when you start walking in this wisdom and revelation knowledge, it will advance you light years into the kingdom.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today?
Amen.
God will start revealing stuff to you. Now, today, I want to focus on this part of the prayer. This is a powerful part of prayer because this part of the prayer is dealing with relationship. Yes. Relationship. You know, our whole life is relationship driven. Yes. Can I get a witness in the house today? In other words, it's all contingent on who we know. Do you know Jesus? Because that's who we need to know. We need to know Jesus, and we need to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the enemy's constantly working against relationships, is he not? But I'm telling you, God is amazing. And it says here, forgive us of our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Now, this verse of forgiveness from God is connected to us forgiving others. So first, we need God's forgiveness from time to time. How many people need God's forgiveness?
Amen.
Knowing that we need God's forgiveness is an important key to forgiving others. Our vertical relationship with God is connected to our horizontal relationship with people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so I love that. And so when we're living a life in God, we need to be living a transparent life.
Amen.
What does that mean, a transparent life? That means that you are an open book with the Lord. That means you're not hiding anything from God. That means that you're transparent in your walk. You're not walking a fake Christian life. You're not just saying words, but you're not just a hearer, but you are a doer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I like that God's everywhere. God is watching, and he's looking at everybody on this planet. And he's watching us. Amen. And he knows everything about us. We can't hide anything from God.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Sometimes we think we can. Sometimes, you know, we think we can hide those little sins that easily besets us, but God sees all. Can I get a witness in the house today? And it's just like mom and dad, they know all what's going on with their kids. Amen. They know what's going on with their kids. Amen. Kids will try to get away with stuff, but mom and dad's been there already. They already know that because they were a kid themselves. So in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. I love that. It is sharper than any sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Notice that. The word of God exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable.
Amen.
Wow. That's a powerful scripture this morning. See, I'm speaking to some mature Christians this morning that can handle some meat of the Word of God. And so we got to be living our lives. I like to call it transparent lives. We need to be an open book to God because God knows it all. He sees it all. Amen. So here, God's Word exposes everything that we are in a relationship with God, good or bad. I'm going to say it again. God sees all our good. And he can see, I would say, some or a little bit of our bad. Because we have more good than bad. I hope I'm talking to the right group today. Amen. You guys have more good than bad, right? Amen. And you don't go with the song, bad. Got to be bad. Amen. No, you got to be. Yeah, I know bad means good in some instances. But we got to stay good in God. See, the devil always twists things. He says, if you're bad, then you're good. If you're good, you're going to lose in life because only good people lose, right? But no, good people win.
Right.
Amen? Right. So we have to, you know, if the devil will try to get us walking in wrong areas of our life. Amen? And we don't want to be walking in any areas that go against God's word. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so if the Bible will reveal areas, and if we're on a wrong course, the Bible will help us get back on the wrong course, get back on the right course. And to get back on the right course, there's one key word I want to present to you this morning. And that key word is repentance.
Amen.
Amen. Repentance. And somebody say this, a heart of repentance always keeps me close to God. Amen. And we need to have a heart of repentance. In other words, we need to be always checking ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we're walking in the faith. Amen. So let's look at some familiar scriptures that will help us understand the power of repentance in our lives. In 1 John 1:9, this is a familiar scripture for a lot of us. And it says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like that word all. Amen. And that means all. Amen. And so I love this because I'm constantly, you know, when I'm praying, especially you're praying the Lord's Prayer every day, this is a place where in the Lord's Prayer about asking forgiveness is where we need to be examining ourselves. We always should be examining ourselves if we're walking in true faith or if we're walking in the vanity of our minds.
Amen.
And I want to be walking in true faith.
Amen.
I don't want to be hiding anything from God.
Amen.
Amen. So the power here is confessing sin opens every believer to the forgiveness of sin. Amen? So confessing our sins, praying can also bring healing into our lives. This is powerful because confession is not just confessing to God. And I know there's, you know, the Catholic Church, you confess to a priest, amen? And he takes that prayer and takes it to the Father. But Jesus is the mediator. Amen. He's the mediator between God and man. Not trying to come against anything right now. Amen. But what I'm saying is, but it's also good not only to confess your sins to the Father in Jesus' name, but it's also good to confess your sins to one another.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good just as confess when you mess up.
Yes.
Amen. This, I believe, confession, some say, is good for the soul.
Amen.
And so it's good to confess when you mess up because it reveals that you need God's forgiveness.
Amen.
It reveals that you're not perfect.
Amen.
It reveals that you got to have God's forgiving power working in your life every day of your lives.
Amen.
Amen. And I like this in James 5:16. It says, confess your trespasses. What? Then people will think I'm weak. If I start telling people how messed up I am, amen, they'll think I'm a screw up, amen. Well, they already know you're a screw up. They already know it. They already know it. So your confession of it, it just confirms the suspicions, amen. But can I give you a secret this morning? We're all a little bit screwed up. Amen. We're all, in some way, we all got little issues. Amen. And side issues that we got to work on. And I'm telling you, we might still be working on them until we get our glorified bodies. Amen. Sometimes we say, God, when can I get rid of this thing? As soon as Jesus comes back. Amen. Amen. No, you can get rid of it a little sooner than that. Amen. You don't have to wait until Jesus comes back. And we're going to talk about that this morning. So confession brings possession of the blessings of forgiveness and healing into our lives. Notice it says, confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Then he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's powerful. That's powerful. So I believe that we're walking in full throttle righteousness when we are walking in repentance and forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Can I get a witness now? Amen. I'm getting that witness. Amen. So let's look at some more scriptures relating to forgiving of the power of God. It says here in 1 John 2, it says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Amen. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. These are powerful scriptures showing us the mercy of God for a sinful world. Amen? And there's two key points in these scriptures. First of all, talking about forgiveness, first of all, Jesus is your advocate. Amen. He's your advocate, not your adversary. Adversary means evil one. One's arrayed against you. He's your advocate means that Jesus is for you. Amen. Don't get those two words mixed up. Jesus is not your adversary. He's your advocate. Amen. An advocate is one who pleads the cause of another. So Jesus pleads on our behalf for God's mercy in our lives. Amen. When does he do this? When you're in the wrong and you need God's mercy until you come to repentance. I'm going somewhere this morning. Because sometimes we're in a place in our life where we're not totally walking the walk that we need to walk. And that's where we need Jesus working for us with the Father. Amen. In other words, when you sin, you don't lose your salvation. But you can miss out on some kingdom benefits of peace and joy in your life. And I don't want to lose any kingdom benefits of peace and joy. I don't want to trade any sin off for those kingdom benefits. Amen. Of fellowship with the Lord. Amen. And then it says Jesus is our propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation is an interesting word. We don't use that too much. But really what it means is that propitiation means that Jesus paid the price of crucifixion to appease God's judgment from wrath on us. Amen. Jesus paid the price. In other words, the price of God's wrath will not be on those that receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's good news today. Because you're not under the wrath of God this morning. If you receive Jesus, you're under the grace and the mercy and the love of God this morning. There's something to get happy about. Because lots of people right now that don't have Jesus in their life, They're in a place where God's wrath is abiding. Amen. But it's being held back until they get their lives right with God. In other words, Jesus said that God's waiting for waiting patiently for the harvest to come in. That's why judgment's not hitting this world. There is a natural grace peace that's in this world. Did you know that? And so even sinners can walk in some degree of peace. That's right. And I thank God for that because I drive a lot and I want these sinners in peace while they're driving. Amen. I was thinking about that. They all seem to be in order and peaceful and all that. It's because God's grace of peace is still in this earth system. Amen. Until Jesus comes back and then a 7-year tribulation comes in and then there's going to be all hell breaking loose. But we're not going to be there to be a part of that. Amen? I'm not going to be in that 7-year tribulation. I'm going up on the second load. First load is the ones that die in Christ first. They get raised first. Amen. I hear Pastor, I'm going in first load. That means you're going to die before Jesus comes back. No, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. We need to make sure that we're a church spotless, without spot or wrinkle, full of love and faith, doing the works of Jesus. So I love that. So when we repent from sin, God sees the sacrifice of Jesus and grants us forgiveness of sins. I believe that. That Jesus presents what he's done to the Father, and the Father grants mercy to each one of us, even if we're in some areas of a wrong, until we get right with God. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And I know you're going to get right with God. Amen? Amen. So I love this. So there's a warning to those that don't acknowledge sin to God. In other words, we can hide and try to hide from God and hide our sin from God. But again, like I said, God sees all. So here's a warning. It says here in 1 John 1:8, "For if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So living a life of sin not repented of can cause the truth of God's word to be divorced in our lives. It will cause the word of God to be ineffective in our lives. In other words, we make excuses for the sins we commit and act like it doesn't matter to God. And I'm going to say this, your sin matters to God because it doesn't only affect God's heart, it affects people around you. And what we do is we use excuses for our sins. And what is an excuse? An excuse is a skin of a lie wrapped around a reason. Have you ever heard that before? It's a skin. You're making up a reason. This is the reason why you got to go to that sin. Because you make a reason up, but it doesn't hold water with God. Amen. Amen. And so just because your spouse is neglecting you, that doesn't mean you go out and commit adultery. Yes. I'm going somewhere today. Amen. I'm going somewhere today. I'm being a little neglected by my spouse, so I'm gonna find two 20s. Amen. She's 40. Glory to God. Amen. And so you just because you're being neglected doesn't give you an excuse to go off and sidestep your spouse. Can I get a witness in the house today? See, a lot of people make excuses. Amen. And so I'm going to say this. Love is a commitment. It's not just a feeling. Because the feelings can go. Any married people in here? You're still married. Still sitting with each other. Amen. And the feelings can go, right? But the commitment has to outlast your feelings.
Amen.
Amen. Amen on that. Because sometimes you feel like you're married to the devil. Keep looking straight ahead. Amen. Keep looking straight ahead. I know that. Amen. Sometimes you feel like, but you keep praying for your spouse. My wife is smiling over there. Amen. You see Pastor David all polished up here, but you don't see him with his hair down and all that. Glory to God. The wife knows all. The wife knows all. The Holy Spirit and the wife knows all. Amen. And sometimes your kids know it too. Amen. They kind of know your mess ups too. Amen. So all sin committed hurts the heart of God and will eventually bring judgment into our lives if we don't repent of them. Let's look at another warning scripture about sin. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen? This is saying if we continue in sin, we can't trust God's word as being true, and God's word will eventually have no place in our lives.
Amen.
I believe that. Amen? In other words, you gotta. The Bible says, thy word I've hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. So you got to keep that word before you so it keeps you from going on the wrong path of destruction. We don't want to go on that wrong path. So let's look at the remedy for walking out of deception and sin. It says here in 1 John 1:6-7, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So here it's saying here that as Christians, you have the ability to walk in some darkness. You can do that if you want because you have free will. But he says here, but you got to practice. He says, you got to practice the truth. You got to practice obeying God to walk right with him. Then he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we see here, to avoid walking in sin in our lives, we must walk in the light of God's word every day in our lives. Walking in God's light is hearing, and you ready for the second word? Obeying. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. It's not just being hearers of the word, but you got to be obedient to the word. Sometimes that's not easy. I mean, I'm telling you, it wasn't easy getting up this morning and coming to church. Amen. I was thinking about, man, it's not easy sometimes getting up, getting all dolled up. It takes a pastor a long time to look this good. Amen. It takes a pastor a long time to get it all together. Amen. I remember I came in here early one time, and I thought it was before everybody got here, and I brought some stuff in before, and somebody was already here. I didn't shower or anything, and they saw me, my hair messed up, I looked bad, and they said, Pastor, I said, I don't know where he's at right now, amen. But I'm telling you, we got to dress for success to be right in God. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so let's look at some scriptures of the power of obedience and what obedience is connected to. You know what obedience is connected to? It's connected to our love walk to God.
Amen.
Amen. It says here in 1 John 5:3-4, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So if you love God, you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So it says here that if we really love God, we're going to keep his commandments. The question is not up for debate if God loves us. That should not be up for debate. Amen? Because we know that God loves us because he gave his son Jesus for us. In Romans 5:8-9, it says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us. So just the fact that God gave Jesus to us reveals that God loves us.
Amen.
He doesn't have to do anything else for us. That is enough. But it says, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him.
Amen.
That's powerful. That's powerful. So the question is not that if God loves you. We already know God loves us.
Yes.
Amen. The world knows that. But my question to you today is, do you love God? Oh, I'm going somewhere today. Do you love God this morning? Amen. Do you love him enough to repent of any sin that would displease him? Amen. Wow. Do you love him enough to put away sin in your life? Amen. So what sins not repentant of can bring judgment into our lives? Can I give you a list of sins this morning to get you excited? Amen. To just bring some excitement to you. In Galatians 5, I was going to go with the Ten Commandments, but this is right here, New Testament. So let's go with New Testament. Amen. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Do we all know what that is? Yeah, lots of people are committing that. Amen. Because my spouse isn't loving me enough. So I got to go out on it, right? Fornication. We know what that, do we know what that is? Sex outside of marriage. Amen. And so so these are our sins of the flesh. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath. Anybody had those lately? Can I raise both hands? Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand. Paul, why do you have to be such a killjoy? You mean we can't live in this stuff and still enjoy God? We can't have our cake and eat it too? We can't have a little adultery on the side, a little fornication, and still have the grace and the peace and the love of God? And what he says here, I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the times past, that those who practice, underline the word practice, such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want you to define that for yourself. What do you think? First of all, we don't want to practice walking in sin. We want to practice walking in righteousness. So he's saying here, the apostle is giving us a strong warning of these sins of the flesh that can bring eternal judgment into our lives. Amen. Amen on that. How many preachers are reading this list on Sunday morning? Glory to God. That's a big list. Amen. But I'm going to say this. Even that is a big list. All those sins are forgivable. I'm going to say that again. All those sins are forgivable. Glory to God. And so, but before I go into that next point, in Galatians 5:16, he tells us how to walk out of those sins. You want some keys to that? Amen. He said, I say, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So what is the flesh? It's the unrenewed part of us that wants to do it our way. It's when we want to sing that song, I did it my way. Amen. That famous song of Frank Sinatra. I did it. That's the theme song in hell. I did it my way. The theme song in hell. And people are doing life their way. But we need to do it God's way. Can I get a witness in the house today? We need to do it God's way. Amen. And it says here, but if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. In other words, there is sometimes a war between our flesh and our spirit. Have you ever experienced that before? Amen. But he says here, these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things which you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we need to be Spirit-filled Christians, walking Spirit-filled lives and staying in the Spirit. But you know, it's easy to get in the flesh. Come on. Is it easy to get in the flesh out here? Man, you could be in the Spirit singing hallelujahs, and the next second you could be mad as fire. Is that right? I mean, upset, mad, angry, ready to spit cotton. Amen? Amen. It's easy. Just get out there on the highway. Somebody will give you a nice sign, you know, that one finger high sign. Amen. And so sins of the flesh are pretty bad and can bring judgment. But what is the sin that can hinder God's mercy in our lives more than any of the sins of the flesh that are forgivable? I like that. They're forgivable. What will keep the power of God's forgiveness in our lives is a sin that's probably the worst sin than all the others in the list. And this is the sin of not forgiving. Wow. Wow, you mean adultery? You mean not forgiving is on a higher level of sin in God's eyes than adultery? Yes. Not forgiving is in a higher level than even adultery. And adultery is bad. Probably even higher than murder. Amen. Because that's forgivable. But here, we're going to read some scriptures that's going to open our eyes this morning. And we want to make sure we're walking in the love of God. Amen. It says here, let's just go with the scripture again in Matthew 6:12, and forgive us of our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. This verse in the prayer connects God's forgiveness towards us and our forgiveness towards others. So there's a connection between God forgiving us and us forgiving others. And I like what it says in the great scripture in Mark 11, talking about speaking to your mountains. And then he's talking about prayer, and he says, therefore I say to you in Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And we all say amen on that. There's power in believing, speaking, and receiving. But then what's connected to this, the next verse connected to that, makes me nervous. It says here, but our prayers can be hindered if we're not walking in love. Because the Bible says faith works by love. And if your love is not working, your faith won't work. And if your faith won't work, your prayers won't work. I'm going somewhere this morning. Amen. And so it says here in Mark 11, 25 and 26, and whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Now this is Jesus, this is in red. Amen. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. I didn't write this. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. He's meaning this. He's saying that unforgiveness is so detrimental to our faith walk, it can destroy the power of God lending us his mercy and his forgiveness and sins in our life. Can I get a witness now? So we see here that not forgiving people offenses will hinder God from forgiving us of our offenses. And this is the worst sin of all. Amen? So how do we forgive those that hurt us? We pray God's forgiveness for them. We practice what Jesus prayed on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I want to submit to you that we need God's forgiving power working in our lives every day. So to keep his forgiving working power, we must continue to forgive others. Let me close by us confessing this prayer as a prayer proclamation before we close out the service. Just say this out loud. Father, forgive me of all my sins, and I forgive those who sin against me in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. I'm looking at righteous people this morning because you just prayed a powerful prayer. Amen. And you're not holding anything against anybody. You're praying for those that despitefully use you. Doing good. Give a cup of cold water. Amen. Give somebody something to eat that does you wrong. Amen. Make sure you don't put arsenic in it, of course. But do good to those who persecute you and use you and do all manners of good. Be like Jesus. Amen. And I want to be like Jesus. Amen. And they did all, you know, Jesus, if there was anybody should be complaining that Jesus was the one on the cross, if anybody had a right to complain, Jesus had a right to complain. Amen. But he didn't complain. Amen. He prayed for those that crucified him, and he prayed and interceded for them. And I'm going to say this to you today. He's interceding for you. Amen. And you might not be in a perfect place right now, but I believe as you look at your life, you can come into a more perfect place in God. And you're going to experience God's love, his peace, and his joy in your lives. You believe that today? And I believe that we're going to get our lives in a place where God's grace will work full throttle in our lives. Amen? Did you receive it this morning? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're moving towards that good place in you. And to do that, Father God, we got to repent of sin. We have to forgive our brothers and sisters. And we have to believe that your power of forgiveness is working in our lives. Perhaps you're here this morning. Perhaps you're watching online. And you've never made the confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, today is a day of salvation. And I want to lead you in that prayer if you're ready to do that. Just say this and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church every week. We're here at the same time. If you're here locally, come on out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We'd love to have you part of the service. If you're not here locally, find a good church home where you can move forward in your walk with Christ. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless you.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.